Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 346 for April 11th, 2018. We troubleshoot the pine board. Hello, everybody. It's K9EID. And I'm in a different place again, but that's okay. This is a show about ham radio, Ham Nation. And we're right here on the Twit Network. And I appreciate all of you tuning in. We got some really good things tonight. It's a full show, and you want to stick around. I think George is going to teach us how to use the MFJ analyzer, and Don's got great news, and we have Amanda with us. So who knows where it's going from here, but let's find out who all is here first. Ladies first, Amanda, nice to see you. How are you doing?
We're doing good, and Jeff was going to grab a chick to say hello with. Here he comes. This is Sunshine. Say hi to Sunshine. Wow. Oh, the dogs want to say hi to Sunshine, too. We're doing great here in Colorado. Weather's going wonderful, and I'm turning into a crazy chicken lady. But that won't keep me from watching the chat room and taking your questions for later on this evening.
Okay. Chicken lady. Wait a minute. Don, we might have a new name for her. What do you think, Don Wilbanks?
Sunshine looks delicious, doesn't she?
Oh, no.
She posted something on Facebook today that the chickens were so cute, but they're getting big, but they were stinky. And so I posted a picture of a box of Zatarain's chick fry, and I said, that'll knock that smell down real fast. Just a little light dusting and a dredge through some really, really hot oil. It'll take care of that. So, but anyway, Amanda, I'm sorry. I probably shouldn't be
that
talking
ain't
like
even
this.
Right.
Let me put a blessing upon you. Dominus Fabisco Nabisco, God bless you and carry on.
And a Triscuit. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Back to you, Bob.
Oh, man. George, you have to come in here and hold the fort down here. Let's put some, a little bit of calm to things. George, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing well, Bob. I just have to add injury to insult. Amanda's talking about the chickens. I had to go to one of my transmitter sites earlier this week. Actually, it was Monday. And this particular one is located in a cow pasture. And that farmer also has chicken houses. I mean, really big chicken houses. There's like five of them. And I'm going to guess they hold at least 1,000 chickens per house. There is nothing worse smelling, worse than, say, 5,000 chickens and a cow pasture. It is, yes, pretty tough. So,
yes, there is. 5,000 pigs in a cow pasture.
I don't know, Don. You would be amazed at, well, I'm not going to say what it smelled like, but let's just say it was
chickens.
Very unpleasant. I've got a little video tonight that our friend Dan Van Evenhoven, N9LVS, did for us. He's the one who's going to show us how to use the MFJ 259C antenna analyzer. And I got a couple of announcements to make tonight, too. And, well, let's get on with the show.
Well, I had a wonderful time this weekend at the Ozark Con Festival. It's a QRP festival, and I got some pictures we'll go here in a minute. But first, I want to tell all of you about a great ham fest. This is a goodie. It's called the Green Country Ham Fest. It's down in Oklahoma, and I've been there several times. And if you are free, you make it happen, because it's really a good fest. They have a lot of great prizes and lots of parts. So for all of you pine board builders, aha, that's the place to go. It's really good. And there's the website up there for you. You might want to go check it out. Green Country Ham Fest, all one word, org, O-R-G. And it's really fun. Good place, good people, good food. So check it out. And I wish I could be there, but can't be in two places at once. But we had a really good time this past weekend. I took Al, my good buddy, W0ERE, and we went to Branson, Missouri. And I got some slides of it here. It's every year. And for any of you like to build, it's a builder's paradise. On Friday night, they have a builder's. They just line up a whole bunch of tables and give you soldering irons. It's wonderful. This was, of course, I was there because they wanted me to bring the pine board. So there it is. Now, sitting beside it was Bob, K0KME, his pine board with his homemade, home-built coil with Litz wire. That was really cool. And you can see to the left, there's a little digital VFO. I think he paid something like $40 for it on the internet, and it's a digital VFO, so he doesn't need crystals. Well, that's great. Bob's a good guy. And he built, there's a power supply, and as a builder, he's built all kinds of other things, and he just pulls some pieces together out of the junk box and put this together. That's what you do when you're a builder. There he is. This is a collection of tubes. We're talking about very old tubes. They're very rare. And he has a whole bunch of them. And I like his shirt. His shirt says, if you can't build it, fix it, or mow it, it must not be worth anything. That's a terrific shirt. Can't build it, fix it, or mow it, that's not worth it. Good show, Bob. Had some vendors there. All, again, QRP stuff. And these guys are really serious. And they had all kinds of really neat parts. And just for a small transmitter, we didn't find any big kilowatt tubes there. It was all for QRP. A lot of forums. And look at that. A lot of guys. There were people there from 17 states. So this is a serious, serious convention, not for the normal, but it's all about QRP, but a lot of information about building. So I really enjoyed being there. And there were a couple of guys that had some big amplifiers and stuff there. I didn't get a picture of him, but Joe was there. Hatman Joe, and we're going to get him on the show sometime here soon. There are some really neat QRP rigs, a little Heathkit tour. I think it ran all of 4 watts. I used to have those, that sixer and a tenner, stuff like that. Fun stuff. And again, little bitty parts. But parts you need, and this is where you find them. You go to Hamfest, and they're out there. They really are. Just have to dig around. There's Bob showing me how to wind that coil. He's really a great builder. So we had a great time with Robert. He was super. And I appreciated everybody that was there. Made such a wonderful time for us. So, Don, we had a good time with your friend Joe. And we'll have him on here. He's got a couple of things coming up. So he's going to bring his soldering iron and come along. What do you think? That'd be a good idea, Don?
Oh, absolutely. Anytime you can get Joe Eisenberg, K0NEB, the cat in the hat guy, the kit building guru, the kit building editor of CQ Magazine. What else? Bon vivant, man about town. Heck of a really good roommate at the Huntsville Ham Fest over the years to me. Yeah, anytime you can get him involved in anything, it's going to kick it up to the next notch. So, absolutely. Absolutely. Are we ready for the news of the week, Bob, or are you still talking about stuff? What are we doing here? Because I'm ready for anything at this point.
We want to hear what's going on out there. That's for sure. It's all yours.
Oh, we can do that. By the way, you know, the big old flame-throwing WTWW shortwave at 5085 and 12.105, they're great partners of us here. And I got a text from Ted Randall. WB8PUM, he's out at the NAB convention, National Association of Broadcasters convention in Vegas right now. You know what else is out in Vegas? That's Area 51. They are going to be broadcasting live tomorrow night from Area 51. And he says, tune in tomorrow and listen to 5085 as we broadcast live from Area 51. And in the process, we're going to try to keep from getting arrested or thrown in jail. So... That will be worth listening to, I think. He's done that before, and it's a fascinating show when he's out there live, as close to the fence as they can possibly get, like I said, without getting shot or arrested at Area 51, looking for questionable aircraft, little green men, whatever they're looking for out there, they'll be out there. So that's WTWW 5085 tomorrow night. Check that out. But right now, let's get into the news of the week and the solar update from Dr. Tamitha Scove on Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2110, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, April 11th, 2018. Encouraging news from the ARRL. Our ranks are growing. Jim Dameron, N8TMW, has the numbers.
Hams, we're in good company. There are now more than 30,000 new licensees among us, as reported by the ARRL's Volunteer Examiner Coordinator's Office. More than 35,350 candidates set for exams for new licenses or upgrades, and by the end of last December, the amateur radio community was 748,136 strong. Not surprisingly, the largest segment consisted of technicians, with nearly 378,000 ticket holders. According to the ARRL, there were 174,206 general class tickets issued, closely followed by 145,034 in the amateur extra class. Only advanced class and novice, which are no longer being issued by the FCC, showed a drop in numbers. Expect the bands to be busier than ever.
Hamvention is only weeks away, and there's something very special in the area that is a must-see.
When the lights go out at the Greene County Fairgrounds after a busy day at Hamvention, what happens next? The National Voice of America's Museum of Broadcasting has that answer. A visit to Westchester, Ohio, a half hour or so away from the convention by car. The museum is open for extended hours during Hamvention weekend, and visitors can get an early start on Thursday when the museum is open from 1 to 4 p.m. The museum will have especially late hours, that's until 9 p.m., on Friday, May 18th and Saturday, May 19th. The historic site, known as VOA's Bethany Relay Station, had six of the world's most powerful shortwave transmitters sending messages to Europe, Africa, and South America between 1944 and 1994 when the studio finally went silent. Attendees can visit the exhibits dedicated to broadcast pioneer Powell Crosley Jr., see a huge collection of Drake amateur radio gear, and VOA's remaining 250,000-watt transmitter, as well as the 1960s master control room. Or do what hams enjoy best. Get on the air from the Ham Shack for WC8VOA, the Westchester Amateur Radio Association. For complete information on hours and exhibits, visit voamuseum.org and see you in Ohio. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp. WB9VPG in Bloomington, Indiana.
Remembering TV's Gary Shandling, who's the subject of a new HBO documentary. It celebrates his career and his boyhood hobby, amateur radio.
As many hams know, long before he was Gary Shandling's stand-up comedian, he was Gary Shandling, WA7BKG. When Shandling died unexpectedly at age 66 of pulmonary thrombosis 2 years ago, the entertainment world and his community of fans were joined in grief by older radio amateurs. Many of them remembered hearing Gary on the air so many years ago from his QTH in Tucson, Arizona. The world recently got a second look at the comedian in a documentary, The Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling. The 4.5-hour special premiered on HBO in late March. Sharing his rise on the stage, making millions laugh, but also puts his youthful amateur radio experience and his early dreams of a career in engineering back in the spotlight. Although Shandling had long since let his license expire and isn't a silent key in the formal sense, he is clearly missed. So much so that he is back on the air, at least in spirit. His friends have revived his Twitter account and have announced that much of the material will be from the comedian's own writings. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
Another reminder that the 2018 nominating period for the Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award is now open. You'll find full information and the nominating form on our website, www.arnewsline.org. Just look at the top under the YHOTY tab. For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Jim Dameron, N8TMW, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Stephen Kinford, N8WB, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 73, we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
We're coming down from the first wave of a solar storm that actually has bumped us up to storm levels, and the sun gives us a new sneak peek at the upcoming cycle. Those stories and more in the news this week. Space weather this week is a bit stormy. We have a huge corona hole that's covering the whole face of the sun this week. We've already been hit by the fast wind from one edge of this corona hole, and it's bumped us up to storm conditions and brought aurora down to mid-latitudes. Meanwhile, we've kind of calmed down for the moment, but the storm likely will pick up again, maybe not quite as strongly, but we could easily be up to active conditions, maybe even storm conditions, on and off for easily the next few days and possibly through the rest of the week. But that's not even the biggest story. The coolest story is actually this little region down here at high latitudes in the southern hemisphere. If you blink, you miss it. But this little region has the right polarity and is at the right latitude for it to be a sneak peek into the new cycle. Switching to your M-flare threat meter, you can see the X-ray flux continues to be incredibly low, and by proxy, that means the solar flux is also low. So you amateur radio operators and emergency responders, you're still dealing with poor conditions for radio propagation. As a matter of fact, the last time you actually had anything close to a C-class flare was back on the 3rd of April. Since then, things have continued to be very quiet. We have a spotless sun right now, and it looks like it's going to stay that way for the foreseeable future. Switching to your solar storm conditions, you can see we've actually been hovering between normal to unsettled conditions easily since the beginning of April. But then there on the 9th, you can see we got hit by the fast wind from this coronal hole. It's bumped us up to storm levels even for a short while already, and it's brought aurora down to mid-latitudes. But for now, we've actually gotten back down to unsettled conditions, but don't expect that to last. We could easily bump back up into active conditions sporadically here over the next few days, maybe even in through the weekend before things begin to settle down. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are in the middle of that solar storm that's kind of sending us some pockets of fast wind here and there. At high latitudes, NOAA is expecting active conditions with about a 50% chance of a major storm. At mid-latitudes, we're only expecting unsettled to possibly active conditions with about a 25% chance of a minor storm. And these conditions are going to be sporadic, and they'll probably go on easily for the next few days, even possibly through the weekend. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, everything still is in the green when it comes to solar flares. We have a spotless sun right now, so we have no risk for a radio blackout, which should make you GPS operators happy. But you poor radio amateurs are extremely upset. We are still hovering between poor propagation and marginal propagation for the HF bands, and it will continue to stay like that easily over the next week. So the space weather this week continues to be a bit stormy, which is good news for you aurora photographers, because we've had aurora down to mid latitudes already, and we'll probably get another chance for that easily over the next few days, maybe even in through the weekend. Now this is also good news for you GPS operators. As long as you stay away from the aurora, you're enjoying some good clean signals on the day side and even on the night side. But you poor amateur radio operators and emergency responders, this storm is a little tough for you. It's a little too active to give you some good conditions unless you're doing auroral propagation. And then, of course, on the day side, you're dealing with poor solar flux. So radio propagation isn't much better there either. So all I can say is kind of weather the storm over the next few days and things should get a lot better. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Awesome to have Dr. T on with us tonight. Of course, always follow her on Twitter at Tamitha Scove. She does stuff on Periscope as well. And she's live tweeting all the time about solar weather. And it's so important to what we do here in amateur radio. So please, by all means, follow her if you get a minute. Last week I shared with you this letter from Dennis and Donna. Dennis is KC9ICA. And the little radio angel that's over my shoulder here, you see it just above the W5PYQSL card. I told you the story about that and the letter they sent me about my adoption and adopting my son. And I told you a little bit about the DNA test that I took and how I had found a sister and a cousin and some other stuff. Well, in the last week, there have been some major developments, so major, in fact, that I don't have time to tell you about them. That could be a whole show in itself. In fact, from Friday afternoon until Sunday, it was just an explosion of information, and I would love to tell you about it, but we don't have time here. However, a very good friend of mine is starting up a brand new podcast. It's called The Jag Show, and he asked me to be the first guest on the premiere episode, which we recorded last night, and you can go to that link right there, or just Google search The Jag Show. I'm also going to drop a link to The Jag Show right now in the chat room. There it is, and I will also put a link to that on our Facebook page, the Ham Nation Facebook page. Jag's a great guy. I worked with him in New Orleans for a few years. He's now back home up in Detroit. But he asked me to be the first guest and to tell the story of the adoption and how doing this DNA test has changed my life. So listen to that. I think you'll find it interesting. I will give you a spoiler alert. You're going to need a tissue. It's great news. It's great news. Go listen. I am an incredibly lucky man. All right. So enough of that. We've got George standing by with smoke and solder. I'm beside myself with just my life has changed in a million different ways. Every one of them good. A little bittersweet, but every one of them good. But we've got George standing by with smoke and solder. So we'll get into that right after this word from our good friends at ICOM.
Advanced technology for advanced communications. Communicating has never been more fun than with ICOM. From D-Star to SDR, ICOM uses the most advanced technology in their radios. The SDR you've been asking for is here. ICOM's new IC7610 is a high-performance SDR with the ability to pick out the faintest signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. The new ICOM IC7610 is a direct sampling, software-defined radio that will change the world's definition of a SDR transceiver. RF direct sampling system, 110 RMDR, independent dual receivers, and dual digicell. Whether you're looking to enter the world of D-Star or need a backup D-Star portable for your Go kit, the ID31A Plus is the perfect radio. Easy to operate, the ID31A Plus is available in silver, red, or gold. Worldwide communications, share pictures and text messages, and it's IPX waterproof, compact, lightweight, and tough. Find out more about all the great new ICOM radios. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur. Going to Hamvention 2018? Become one of the 100 lucky winners to take home a limited edition swag kit. Visit ICOM's website to enter into this April contest today.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Register to win some great swag prizes like t-shirts and hats. While you're there, learn how you can win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for April, that new radio is the lovely ICOM ID51A. It's an innovative 2-meter, 70-centimeter mobile with touchscreen. Of course, it does analog and D-Star both. It's got DV-DV dual watch, built-in GPS. There's an SD card slot for voice and data storage. It's got the built-in DV and FM repeater list function. And there's a Bluetooth and Android app available. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And one more announcement here I want to make. There's a great event coming up for those interested in D-Star. It's called Triple D Plus One, and it's going to be held at the Lafayette Science Museum in Lafayette, Louisiana, on May the 5th at 9 a.m. is when it begins. There are going to be a lot of speakers there on D-Star. It's going to be a variety of folks. We're going to have Ray Novak and Will Jourdain from ICOM there. John Davis from the Georgia Emergency Management Association and DSTARinfo.com. And Ed Woodrick from Georgia Digital and DSTARinfo.com. Jim McClellan from U.S. Route and Texas Intertie System. David Norris, the ARRL Delta Division Director, John Mark Robertson from the ARRL Louisiana Section Manager, Michael McCray, also the Louisiana Assistant Section Manager, and Robin Cupshaw, the guy who developed the DV dongle and the DVAP, will be doing a session live from Skype. In addition to that, Tommy and I from Amateur Logic TV will be attending that, and we're going to stream it live. You can watch it live at live.amateurlogic.tv. We'll be posting more about that as it gets closer, but it's May the 5th at 9 a.m., the Lafayette Science Museum. If there's any way you can get there, come on down and look for some great D-Star information. I don't know how many hours this is going to last, but it's going to be an extended event, and they're going to have jambalaya and pastelaya. I don't know what pastelaya is, but I think we're going to find out. Also, they're giving away prizes. They've got the ID51A Deluxe, just like we saw there a moment ago. And they're going to give away an ID4100A and an ID51A. So three great D-Star radios there as well. Now, we look forward to seeing some of you there on May the 5th. Well, I got a sad bit of news here I want to relay tonight. Clyde Hanley, he was not a ham, but he was worthy of the attention of hams. He died this week. He was 95 years old. And the way you might recognize some of his accomplishments is he worked with WLW and Voice of America. Now, he wasn't one of the ones who built the 500 kW transmitter at WLW, but he came along, I believe it was 1941, and got the job there working as one of the engineers. He was the last living man to have operated on a routine basis at 500 kilowatt transmitter. He also was instrumental in building the Voice of America there in Ohio. He's the guy who designed the antenna switching network that is out behind the building there. A huge antenna switching because, you know, a lot of transmitters and a lot of antennas at that site. He also develop the reentrant rhombic antennas that they originally used. He had a lot of great broadcast history behind him, did some amazing projects. He worked for Crosley Broadcasting and AVCO after Crosley got out of the broadcasting business. A great amount of history there that he witnessed firsthand, and he will be sorely missed. I just happened to have in 2014 met Clyde at the Voice of America Museum with the purpose of sitting down and shooting an interview, and we did that. Tommy and I went there and met Clyde at when he was 91 years old. Had a great time talking with him, and we recorded it. It's almost 50 minutes of an interview there that I did with him. It has not been released. I never completed the editing on it, but I've still got all the footage. I needed to go back and get a lot of photos and things to fill it in, so I knew it was going to be an extended project, and I've just been, just never got around to completing it, although I always intended to. Well, this kind of spurred me on this week. I said, I've got to get that out. I wish I had gotten it out while Clyde was still alive, but I didn't. But I spent a good bit of this week editing on it, and it's almost completed now. I'll be posting it very soon. I'll let you know where you can find it as soon as it's been posted. It is definitely something you will want to watch. This guy was there and witnessed so much of broadcast and radio history. So many interesting stories, things that I never knew about. Well, it's going to be well worth seeing. So be looking for that. In the meantime, if you want to know more information about Clyde and his amazing history, you can go to WVXU.org. There's a good story there on Clyde and much of what he did during his career. All right, without further ado, I've got a video tonight from our friend Dan in 9LVS, who does the wiki for Ham Nation every week. Dan has put together a video here on operating with the MFJ 259C antenna analyzers. So let's look at that.
This is a quick overview of the MFJ 259C antenna analyzer. I received my MFJ 259C as a Christmas gift this year, so I thought I'd give you a quick overview. My first recommendation is download the manual from the MFJ website, or you can purchase a nice little nifty guide. The nifty guide is very handy. A few things I like about this meter: its ease of use, and the controls are a fairly good size, and especially with a guy like me who has big hands, makes it easy to use. So let's go over some of the controls. It has a two-line digital display, which displays operating frequency as well as measuring data. Right below that is the SWR meter and impedance meter. The gate button here is for setting gate speed, as well as performing some specialty functions. The mode button here allows you to switch between SWR, coaxial loss, capacitance, impedance, or frequency mode. The tuning button is a variable capacitor, which allows for analog tuning of the analyzer. And then the frequency control. The main frequency control goes from 11 MHz all the way up to 230 MHz. Putting the control in low range mode allows you to go from 530 kHz to 11 MHz. Going along the top, the first connection is the ground post. The second is the main antenna connector, which is an SO239. Then we have the frequency counter input. This is used only when you're in the frequency counter input mode. And then, of course, the DC jack. A few quick points about the DC jack. Never use the DC jack if you have alkaline batteries installed in the unit. What I always do is every time I'm done using the unit, I uninstall the AA batteries. Another thing I always do when using the antenna analyzer is before I connect the antenna, I always short it to ground. You would be surprised how much static electricity is built up on an antenna just sitting there. The two primary ways that most amateur radio operators will use the antenna analyzer is for checking SWR and for checking coaxial loss. So let me show you how you do that. First of all, let's check SWR. Now I've got this meter connected to a dummy load. As you can see, we're checking for 20 meters. My SWR is 1.1, and my resistance on this load is 49 ohms. And because it's a dummy load, of course, there is no inductance. Again, the second thing is coaxial loss. In this case, I'm taking an old gnarly piece of RG58, and let's see what kind of coaxial loss we get on this thing. Even at 5 megahertz, we have 24 dB of loss. I guess this piece of coax is meant for the junk barrel, which is exactly where I had it. And that's a quick overview of the MFJ-259C. I hope this video is helpful. And 7-3 from N9LVS.
Well, thanks for that, Dan. That is a great antenna analyzer. You know, it's probably one of the most popular analyzers ever built. The 259, the 259B, and now the C model. So many folks have used those over the years, and there's a lot more you can do than just look at your reflected power on them and your SWR. So a great, great tool to have in your box there. Well, you know, last week I said I was going to give away one of Gordo's books. Gordo wasn't here, and it was the perfect opportunity. So I picked out a question in there. Actually, Gordo picked out this question, but here it is. What is the total resistance of three 100-ohm resistors in parallel? Is it 0.3 ohms? Is it 0.33 ohms? Is it 33.3 ohms? Or is it 300 ohms? Well, we had a winner, and most everybody who answered this one got it right. Three 100-ohm resistors in parallel will be 33.3 ohms. And Jim Driscoll knew that, KM4USC. So congratulations, Jim. You're going to win one of Gordo's amateur radio study guides here. You can take your own choice. Gordo will be getting in contact with you right away and let you choose yours, and he'll get it right out to you. Now, for next week, well, I've got another book here by another one of the Ham Nation people here. It's Bob Hiles, Ham Radio Handbook, second edition. This is a great book, lots of reference material in there for the amateur, plus a lot of how things work, different, just all kinds of interesting information that you'll definitely want to know, along with tables and charts and other information that's so handy to have right there in the ham shack. Someone's really going to like this right here. And if you'd like it, well, you've got a chance to win it. Just answer a question for me. It's and you can find the answer in here. There's a table and charts in here that'll tell you how to look this up or calculate it. If your transmitter is 100 watts and you connect it to an antenna that's got a 4 dB gain, what will be the effective radiated power of your system then? So 100 watts with a 4 dB gain antenna, what would be the effective radiated power? If you think you know that, send it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you might win this Hall Ham Radio Handbook. Okay, and now we're going right back to the show, but first, Don Wilbanks has got an announcement here for us.
And before that, I have the answer to your question earlier about what is pastelaya. Pastelaya, yes, is like jambalaya. For those of you who don't know what jambalaya is, it's a Cajun dish. It's a spicy, typically a side dish. You can also make a whole meal out of it. Rice is the base of it, and it typically has a lot of spices and things in it. The meat can be, you can put anything in there, duck, sausage, chicken, seafood, all of the above. But you substitute the rice for pasta, either spaghetti or that that corkscrew pasta, a corkscrew pasta or little shells. That's pastelaya right there. You substitute the rice for pasta, and you have pastelaya instead of jambalaya, and it's delicious. Absolutely delicious. So there you go, George. There's your cooking tip for the evening. If you have had your fill of rice, do pasta in your jambalaya recipe, and you'll love it. So there you go. One thing, though, one place that you can't find any recipes, but you can find all kinds of other great information, and that is the DX Engineering website, dxengineering.com. You need to go there. And also put that /hamnation behind it, just, you know, because it'll make you feel funky. dxengineering.com/hamnation. And when it comes to antenna performance or cooking, such as the difference between pastelaya and jambalaya, knowledge is power. And there's no better way to take the guesswork out of tuning, troubleshooting, and fixing your antennas and feed lines than with a quality antenna and cable analyzer. It's essential. DX Engineering carries a huge selection from the world leader rig expert, including the family of Zoom analyzers. There's the AA35 Zoom, which gives you up to 35 megahertz. The AA55 Zoom covers up to 55 megahertz. And the AA230 Zoom, which, say it with me, children, covers up to 230 megahertz. Some ways to take advantage of these essential tools for your station. Well, they're ideal for checking coax cable assemblies in the same way that Dan showed us in his video. But this is digital. It's great. It measures vital antenna stats like SWR, impedance, return loss, the capacitance or inductance of a reactive load. You can use them to rapid check out an antenna, including an antenna to resonance, tuning an antenna to resonance, SWR, impedance comparisons before and after a specific event like rain, winter weather. You want to see what your antenna is doing when it's covered with a quarter inch of ice? Plug that rig expert in there. You can find, you can use it for fault location. There's a million different uses for these things. The interface is very simple and it's self-explanatory. It has menus and keyboard markings that make them perfect for hams. The results are graphically displayed on a 320 by 220 color TFT screen, and it has a unique zoom-in function that allows you to view graphic points up close for an even clearer analysis. They provide measurements for 20, 50, 75, and 100 ohm systems. You can move across the frequency range in 1 kilohertz steps. The maximum sweep range is 10 kilohertz. Several easy-to-use measurement modes, including the Rig Expert's SWR-to-air, which works by transmitting the SWR measurement on a user-specified frequency so you can hear it on an HT. Just listen to the length of the audio signal to determine the SWR value. Pretty slick. And Rig Expert Zoom analyzers have a memory function for graph storage, waterproof keypads, multilingual menus and help screens, USB link to a PC, which unlocks a whole lot more features, and, of course, SO239 female connectors, powers provided by AA batteries or a 5-volt USB port. DX Engineering also has combo packages that let you purchase both a Rig Expert analyzer and a sturdy case to keep it safe. And the best ones around are the Nanook equipment cases. They're custom designed. They're available for all three Zoom models and other Rig Expert analyzers. Each case is filled with cubed sectioned foam. You can create the ideal padded space for your analyzer for a perfect fit. I have seen these Nanook cases. I have seen these Rig Expert antenna analyzers. I have seen this kit that you're looking at right now in person. I have held it in my grubby little hands, and it is quality from A to Zoom. See what it did there. DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern time are shipped the same day. Proven products, expert advice. DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at dxengineering.com/hamnation. dxengineering.com/hamnation. Everything but the jambalaya recipes. Find it right there. dxengineering.com/hamnation. Now I'm hungry. If only I had something to eat while I'm watching Bob and the Pine Board.
Hey, how about this?
Oh, hanging with your... Oh, you're hanging with your peeps. Look at you.
Yeah.
That's nice. I mean,
come on. They're on sale now. All that candy's on sale from Easter. Get those things for nothing.
And a lot. And unlike Amanda's chickens, you don't have to chase those down.
No, and they smell good.
Yeah, unlike Amanda's chickens. Right, exactly.
And I got that one especially for this because it's pink.
Yeah, it's Amanda's color. It's lovely. Exactly.
Have you seen what those do in the microwave? Kids,
no.
Do not do this at home, by the way. Don't ever microwave a peep. Don't do it.
Now I'm oddly curious.
Well, we have serious things here. I want to tell you about some wonderful things that I got in the mail recently. And, of course, email. Father Artez has been building the pine board. And he had a few scruffles in the front, but he got it. And it works great, so he say. And we're excited because I don't think that he's built a lot, if anything at all. And so I'm really happy that a lot of people are getting into building. It's so important to build some things, and he did. And we're thrilled. We're thrilled. One of the things I want to touch on today is things about troubleshooting. I have a lot of questions about that. How do you troubleshoot this stuff? And with anything that you build, test, you're trying to test the one that's been built, whatever, you have to do a couple of things. And here's what I do. And there's so many different ways. But first of all, this is the power supply. And what you want to do is before you turn it on, want to make sure all the connections are proper. I had one this week, and the guy had a 20 mic capacitor backwards. It's easy to do because sometimes the markings are hard to see. So here's what you do. Here's where we start. You want to disconnect everything above here, and you only want to connect the secondary to the plates. Now, this is in the tube. The same will apply for the bridge. But I'm doing the tube because you also can then check the filament. You want to make sure the filament is working and lighting up the tube. But before you go too far with all of this, don't forget, you're dealing with some high voltage, so you want to get out your chipstick. And if you don't know about the chipstick, then you want to go to the past episodes. Go to heilsound.com. Down at the bottom of the page, all of the videos are there. Let me get that up there for you. The chipstick. Deal there is you take this clip and put it on the ground. And then you take that little guy right there, and you want to touch it to any of the high voltage places, because there will be some voltage on there, even though you've turned it off. But what you do, take a voltmeter, and you'll want to go in and measure. After you turn this on, watch it. We're dealing with high voltage now. Turn it on. And first of all, I always measure the AC. See if you have good. I think we get about 400 volts across there. 300 is whatever your transformer puts out, because you might have a different transformer. 6.3 volts here. Turn it on. See that the filament's lit. Then check the DC voltage at pin 8. That's the output of the DC voltage. Now remember what I told you, disconnect all of this. And then turn it off with your chipstick, coupled to the ground, this little clip right here. You want to make sure you hold that on there for just a little bit. You know, there won't be any caps to charge, but you're not going to trust it. Then you hook up the first capacitor. and the first dropping resistor. Go ahead and hook those up. Make sure it plus goes here, minus goes there. This is the center tap of the transformer. Take your voltmeter, see what you have here. You should have 350 volts or so. Come out here, make sure you won't have much different here because we're not drawing any current yet. Turn things back off. Get the old chipstick out. And you really want to watch it now because you're going to see some sparks. Don't have your put your hands in your pocket. Couple the clip, this guy to ground right there. And you want to hold that till you have no voltage. I always keep a voltmeter on this thing so I know there's nothing happening. Okay, good. Move forward. Go back and install the second capacitor and the bleeder resistor. This is really important because now what's going to happen when you turn things on, check to see if you have 350 or so volts here. Come through and see if you have it here. But then it's going to drop a little bit because we have put a dropping resistor across the capacitors so that when you turn things off, it will bleed that high voltage to ground. Continue on. Check to make sure you have B plus here. Now, this B plus is only going to be maybe usually around 150, 180, 200 volts. Why? Because we have brought it through the dropping resistor. So you're going to have about 350 here. And you see there, we take that off to the final. The final does not need as much of the filtering. It still gets that guy. But that goes on to the final. This comes on down through the resistor and another cap. And we did that to clean up a little bit of the DC. And this will go to the preamp. And that's how you're going to check your power supply. But you want to do it in stages. And this is the best way to do it. Little at a time. It's the same thing with anything. Disconnect all of this. Check this first. Sometimes I even check this before I plug the tube in to make sure there aren't any little spurs or shorts within what I built around the tube socket. Then plug in the tube. Of course, you got to turn it off each time you're playing with high voltage here, folks. Plug the tube in. And as I said, go through that one, put those components back in, put those components back in. This is how we troubleshoot things. And to answer some questions, I've had a few guys ask me about different voltages. We've run this several times, but here are the voltages of the transmitter. And I think you'll be able to be okay here seeing all of this, and it's going to help you understand what's necessary for voltage. The plate is going to have around 330 volts. The screen's going to be about 95. These are going to be plus or minus. They don't have to be just that. But they're not going to be like 100 and a quarter and 10. Down here on the modulator, it's 340 on the plate, and it's 250 on the screen. And, of course, this is all. I should have started the other way. This is when you put that 350 in. This is coming, remember, from the power supply. You're going to put 350 in. Going to go down here and get you 2.5 there. 340 on the plate of the 6V6. It's going to give you about 330 on the plate of the final and 95 on the screen. So those should help you. It's all just taking time and checking it step by step. That's really the only thing you want to think about when you're doing any kind of troubleshooting, little bit at a time, and disconnect everything and start easy. Let it go on through. And that's the best advice I can give you. One thing before I leave here and get over to Amanda. For 2 years, I've been working on a project. You hear a little bit about it. Well, it is now out to some of the beta testers, and I'm here to tell you, this is going to change amateur radio, and it's going to change your life. Nobody's ever done this before. That's why I did it. It's a parametric equalization system for the receiver. It is absolutely phenomenal. And if you have any hearing loss, you know, you have a little trouble hearing, this is your answer. I've heard from several of my testers that just went crazy. They had hearing aids. They've never been able to hear much. They don't work DX because they can't understand the words. They did with this. So who knows where it's going. But it'll be on full regalia at Dayton. There'll be a few units there also. We're starting production a little before. Parametric receive audio system. So you'll start seeing a little bit about it. There's nothing ever been done like that. The speaker's very special. And again, what do we have today but a 1-watt amplifier at about 10% distortion? Oh, not in my $10,000 radio. Uh-huh, in all the radios. 1 watt, 10%, it's awful. Listening fatigue drives me nuts. So we'll be starting something, put some things up on the site, but we'll have more for you. But I've been hammered with a lot of questions. When, what? Well, there's a little synopsis of what's happening. So the parametric receive audio system is going to really be something. I'm very, very proud because it took a long time and it's right. So we'll have more coming up. Amanda, do you have any pink chickies or are all yours yellow? I forgot to ask you.
I don't have any pink ones, and I would be way too inhumane to dye any of them pink, but I have yellow, I have black, I have some lavender, I have brown, I have an array of them. Just wait until you see them when they're full grown.
Good
Thank
stuff.
You, Bob. Mm-hmm. And love the pink peeps. Mm-hmm. Jeff is love a peep it. Fan. I am not. Raise your hand if you ate peeps. No, not me. Don, George, no
Don't
one.
You,
okay.
It's been my experience that you need to cook the chicken until all the pink goes away. Isn't that how you do it, to do it the right way? And look, I have this Heil microphone. You know what this is good for? This is good for A, really, really good audio. It's good for bequeathing ham radio blessings on you. It's also really good if you take your chicken breast, you can hammer it down real good, make it nice and flat
right.
before
exactly.
you dredge it through your stuff and put it in the multifunction. Listen, Bob Heil's a freaking genius right here.
I'm not going to deny the use of the microphone. That's for sure. All right, you guys. Don is a sicko. Don is so horrible. Okay. I have first a couple of announcements. The New Mexico CUSO party is this weekend from 8 till 8, and that's Mountain Standard Time. excuse me. The Michigan CUSO party is April 21st from 12 noon to 12 a.m. That's next Saturday. All right. This one I'm going to send it to George. KJ4CMY David wants to know, would 100 feet of RJ6 make a good temporary cable for an HF station?
100 feet of what cable? I didn't copy.
RJ6.
You could use it with the proper antenna matching, but no, it's not really what you would want to use. The cables, 75 ohm is better for receiving than it is for transmitting. I think we talked about that several weeks ago. I had a little presentation on coax. I have known folks who used it, though, before with the proper matching at both the output of the transmitter and the input of the antenna. You can make it work, but no, it definitely would not be my first choice.
All right. So you can make it work, but not the first choice. Now, Bob, the second question is for you, because you were You were operating mobile last week, so this is perfect for you. KM4WSJ Pierre wants to know, what mobile HF antenna do you use? He just got an IC7100 and would love to get a good antenna. He can't afford a screwdriver, and he drives an F-150. That's what I drive. Go ahead, Bob.
You have to have a screwdriver. I'm sorry. You have to have. It really works well. The second one I would use is the Hustler, but you have to get out, change the coils, and you get very little bandwidth. They're very difficult to tune. The screwdrivers are great, and no, they are not expensive. Look at the Tar Heels. They're just great, and they will work so well for you. You'll find out when you get into playing with it. Anything else, you got to try to tune, and then you get little bitty bandwidth, and that's, every time you move frequency, you got to get out, stop your car, play with it, and it's tough. Not with a screwdriver. It's wonderful. That's how you do it.
I'm going to go ahead and vote for the Tar Heels. I don't personally own one, but I know friends that do, and they are really fantastic. Yep. From 6 meters all the way up to 160 or 80. I can't remember.
Well, 160 mobile, even 75 meters is kind of tough. 40 meters is the band. 40 and 20, that's the band.
Yep. There you go. Don, do you do any HF mobile?
I used to. I haven't in a long time. I don't have a car right now that has an HF radio in it, but I second that. I've had I had the original little Tar Heel, which was 40 through 6 with the standard 3-foot whip. You put a 5-foot whip on that, and you lose 6 meters, but you gain the 60 meters. It won't go all the way to 80, but the little Tar Heel 2, which is an upgrade, it will not handle quite the amount of power as the original little Tar Heel, but it will give you 80 meters through 6 meters in a nice compact package. It fits on a trunk lid on the Diamond K400 mount. It's not much taller than a standard 2 meter 440 dual band whip. And I'd run the Tar Heel on one side of the trunk and a 2 meter 440 whip on the other side of the trunk. And with a 706 or an ICOM 7000, and man, I mean, that was the cat's pajamas, man. That was it. That was the way to go.
And you had a lot of time going back and forth to work. All right, a couple other things here. Joe K9JPP wants us to know there's Skywarn Net training this Saturday from 11 to 1 in Northern Illinois. Just Google Joe Perry if you want to know more about that. Thanks, Joe. One other thing I want to talk about personally is we had pirates on our repeaters here recently, and people came back on after the pirates were gone or we shut down the node that they were on and said, how do you guys actually deal with this? Well, this is a very good question. Number one, just like on HF, you ignore them. And by rights, it's FCC regulated that you do not engage them. So if any of you hear anybody that's not using a call sign and they're not going to come back to you, or if they ignore you when you come on the repeater and talk to them, just ignore them. Let the repeater operator controller know about it, number two. And if it still remains a problem, send out your fox hunting teams, and maybe if you have the means to get a Doppler and go out and find who it is and turn them into the FCC. But again, never, ever engage them. It's always a bad idea. And you're going to hear a lot of stuff that you don't want repeated on your repeater system. Just going to put that out there. Another thing into RDQ about your RF problem. If Gordo was here, he'd just tell you to deny it. I'm sorry. I had to say that because if Gordo was here, he'd say, No, you don't know what's causing it. Anyhow, Bob gave you some great advice on chat, so I hope you take that to advice and make your antenna system a little bit better there. Other than that, let's go over some nets that we're going to have tonight. We have the 40-meter net, and I do believe it's on 7192. Now, I do not believe that I have seen Steve W7UDI in the chat tonight, so I don't know if there's going to be a 75-meter net. Chat, please correct me if I'm wrong. I'll be cruising through here. Let's go over some of the other nets. We have 14 Charlie for the D-Star net. We have TAC 311 for the DMR net. And do drop in for the Echolink net. And hopefully you can get on all of them, say hello, all that good stuff. And I'd really like to say thanks to all of our net controls because they do such a hard job every week. So it's a lot of work. So I'm still not seeing anything for 75 meters. So I'm going to say we're good there. If not, look where you found them last week. And I can't even remember that at this point in time. So there you have it. Crazy Chicken Lady is done. No chicken nuggets in this house tonight. I'll send it back to you, Bob.
All right. So much fun. I forgot to mention Gordo has, he's out on parole. He's out with the Coast Guard because they've got some storms happening on the West Coast and he's out doing duty. He's really something, I'll tell you. And out there fighting the storms with ham radio. So we'll see him back next week. Next week, don't miss it. It's going to be fantastic. We have guests. We're going to have live guests in the studio. Going to have another live guest in Pleasant Hope with me. What a rarity that is. And these are all people you know you love. So don't miss next week. It's going to be fun. And in the meantime, why keep your cards and letters coming. We'll see you back here. We'll hope that we have some information tonight that could help you. And we'll continue on right here on Ham Nation. So 7-3 to everybody. Take care. Fire up the soldering irons and keep the transmitter tubes warm. Bye-bye for now. This is K90ID.